All right. We're going to go to Leviticus chapter 19. Let's go back and take another swing at it here. I'm not hitting this real often, but I think it's working better that way, honestly. Leviticus 19. Let's read verse 2 again. This is the summation, the prefix for the whole chapter. That's what this is about. It's about the moral law. A lot of people say this is outdated and we're not under this law anymore, but they're wrong. This is the moral law of God. It still stands. Everything I'm going to read tonight out of this chapter is still in force. I mean, it's part of what Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law. The law of things be fulfilled. This was not fulfilled on the cross, in the life of Christ, or by the resurrection, or any of that. This is the moral law of God. It says in verse 2, speak unto all the people, let's start again. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. Let me just recap, since it's been about 2 months here, let me just recap the last message, just the introduction here, because the theme of this whole chapter is that the people of God shall be holy. Now they ought to be holy. They shall be holy. Mm-hmm. It's not a suggestion. This is not a bunch of suggestions or guide for a better life for you or to make you happy. This is about holiness. And God's people shall be holy. Yes. They will. Mm-hmm. They shall. Y'all get the difference?
Yes, sir.
The aim of the law is to produce a certain type of moral and spiritual character in people. Mm-hmm. Holiness essentially consists of a spiritual likeness to God. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And if we are His offspring, we will be like Him. That's the whole thing about sanctification, is we're made more and more like Him. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's working in us through His Word, through the Spirit of God, so that He can present us to Himself without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how this thing works. Now, if it ain't working that way with you, you got a big, basic problem about who you are, where you stand with God, and where you're going when in eternity, when this life's over. You shall be holy. And God will sanctify you. Holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Body, soul, and spirit. Hear that, body? This old dirty body. This old body that everybody blames all the sin on. Says if they can ever get loose from his body, they'll be free from sin. How foolish. When God says He's going to sanctify it too.
Yeah.
Calls it holy. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yep.
Yeah. Alright. That phrase is repeated 16 times in this chapter. Ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. Reckon He's trying to get us to understand something about what He's saying here. All these things He's saying, that's the purpose of it. So that's why I wanted to repeat that when we started out here. These truths are for all ages, not just particular commandments for certain periods of time or for certain groups of people. All these people that go to college and learn about dispensations and stuff like that, they go bananas with all this. And they say, well, you got to understand now, that was for a different time and a different people. And baloney. Not this. No, sir. This is the moral law of God. It's not divided up. It's not for any certain age. It's for all ages. It's not for any certain nation, race, or group of people. It's for everybody. What holiness looks like is laid out in the rest of this chapter here. First, holiness is manifested in our attitude and our actions toward God and others. Very first thing you mentioned here about holiness is that it'll lead you to honor your father and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me you're a Christian when you dishonor your mother and your father.
That's right.
You're not. You're a phony. You're a hypocrite.
Amen. That's
just absolutely the way it is. You shall be holy. And the first thing that he mentions about holiness is that you'll honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise. It's one of the Ten Commandments. The very basic law, moral law of God. You can't fail. This ain't a test you take where you have to get 80% or better or you fail. Or 50% or better or you fail. You can't fail. Now, holiness keeps you from idols, it says here in the first part of the chapter, and you worship God. You worship God in spirit and in truth. Holiness leads you to sacrifice to God and to give Him, give to Him of what He's given to you. And holiness leads you to sacrifice to God according to His law and commandments and not your own heart and mind. People that tell me they don't go to church, they don't want to go to church, they ain't never going to go to church, they don't need it, they don't want it, don't tell me that you're a child of God.
Right.
And that you're right with God. You are not.
Nope.
Holiness will cause you, just like it says right here, you'll be in the house of God and you'll sacrifice to God acceptable sacrifices.
Yes, sir.
And you'll do it the way God said, not the way you think or prefer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You're just an idolater if you make up your own rules and your own worship and you do it all your way. You ain't godly and you don't know God. You're an idolater. A lost idolater. And you're going to bust hell wide open.
Right.
I promise you. Holiness will lead you to be benevolent to others. Now that's what we talked about last time. Not greedy and heaping to yourself stuff. But it talked about gleaning your vineyard and leaving. Not gleaning your vineyard. Not gleaning your fruit trees and all that in your fields. Leave it for the poor and the stranger. And so, those are the things that we've talked about up until now. Now, let's go down to verse 11. Let's see. The moral law of God given here deals with respect for the property of others. In verses 11 through 13, let's read that. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall ye shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. All right, now that's talking about other people's stuff. Other people's property. Other people's money. Whatever belongs to somebody else. This is part of the moral law of God. It's a sin to steal what belongs to somebody else. Now, ain't that something that the preacher has to preach in church, that it's wrong to steal?
Yeah.
Who doesn't know that it's wrong to steal? Even a thief knows it's wrong.
Yes. Yes.
They get upset if somebody steals their stuff. And there's no honor among thieves. You know that old saying? And you reap what you sow. So that's the way it goes. I've seen people. I've seen that so real. You know, I see stuff happen to people that never has happened to me. But I've seen them do the same thing to somebody else and it comes right back on them. Yeah. I was laughing about David, you know, getting pinged with that Pepsi bottle off of the, while he's mowing grass. I said, that ain't never happened to me. But I know he did it to somebody else, see? And so it goes around, comes around. That is the way it is. It's a sin to steal what belongs to somebody else. Now, here's what does it mean to steal? Well, it means to take and keep for your own without paying for it and without their consent. Take what belonged to somebody else.
Yep.
How many of y'all read Brother Pete's story about stealing the watermelons the other day? Well, he just did it once, he said, and that was the end of that. And he didn't get to keep them. The law made him put them back. So it was a failed crime. It means to take what belongs to somebody else and keep it for yourself without paying for it and without their consent. Children ought to be taught from the beginning of their consciousness of the people around them to respect what belongs to other people.
Yes, sir.
You ought to teach your children that. That's a basic thing about moral law.
Yes.
everything is not public property. And everything is not free for the taking to whoever gets there first. That's a basic thing. Don't teach that to your kids, and you're going to have some messed up kids when they grow up. They won't respect anybody's property. They'll take whatever they want from anybody they want, and nobody will like them either. And they may end up in prison, because that's a thing. And they do put people in prison for this. Even men. You know, a man doesn't like it. They don't like stealing. God don't either. It's about respecting what belongs to other people. We used to have issues in our home about it when the kids were little because I insisted upon it. And of course, Mama had times when she thought they ought to share. Well, no, not if it's his. It belongs to him. If fate has come and took it without asking, without permission, then no. Yeah. You want your kid to grow up and be a socialist? Teach them that way. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. Now, if you want something of mine and you ask me and I give it to you, that's fine. But if you just come up and smack me and take it, or if you sneak and take it, you're a thief.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's an offense. And it's a sin before God. He said, thou shalt not steal. All right? To deal falsely. He said, neither deal falsely. Well, that's a sin too. It's how these things, how they go in order and progress here, or digress, really. It's kind of backwards, like it always is in the Bible. He starts with the main thing and then goes to what leads to it. To deal falsely is to misrepresent or mislead in order to get for yourself what belongs to someone else without paying for it or without paying what they ask for. See, Gary, selling cars, yeah, that's the whole deal right there. When they come in there to buy a car, they're aiming to deal falsely with you. Yeah. And hopefully, the car salesman ain't dealing falsely with them. When you got two people dealing falsely with one another, you got a mess fixing to happen. Everybody's going to be mad before this deal's over. Dealing falsely, misrepresenting. You know, Gary ain't selling cars anymore, so we can kind of be a little more free about talking about car salesmen, can't we? Yeah. But that's a place, that's just one of the many places. It's all over everything, buying and selling in this world. That's the way it is, and it always has been. It is not, saith the buyer, but then he goes away and he boasts about it. Boy, I got one over on him. I got a bargain there. Yes, sir. False dealing. It's less obvious form of stealing. I mean, to steal is when you just come up and snatch it and run off with it. But to deal falsely is when you use trickery and guile. The New Testament word's guile. Sneaky, deceitful, not just outright lying, but misleading and misrepresenting. Causing them to think things that are wrong. Manipulating their mind. In order to benefit yourself. So dealing falsely is the less obvious form of stealing. To lie one to another. He says, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. All right? To lie to one another is another means of stealing. Or of covering up stealing. Rather than dealing falsely, it is speaking falsely. Lying. Lying's when you use your tongue to misrepresent, to mislead, to say things that are not true. Yep. Children learn it quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When David said, I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. There's a little bit more to that. But anyway, that's just the way it is. That don't mean they got a sinful nature. It just means they learn real quick. I told her last night, the younger people are, the more selfish they are. And they start out real selfish. Out of just the way things are arranged. they're taken care of and every need's met and somebody else does it for them and all they got to do is cry and they, you know, they get attention right now. Well, it makes them selfish little beings real quick. And they have to spend the rest of their life learning how to not be that way and how to deny themselves. But they sure learn to lie quickly. Rather than dealing falsely, it is speaking falsely, and it's to mislead, to represent yourself or something in with words in order to manipulate the thoughts and opinions or the perception of another. That's lying. Y'all know, y'all listening, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just framing your words just right. Being, you know, so that when they hear them, they will think this. Children get to be experts at it early on, don't they, Elizabeth? You got a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old sitting there, almost 3. They're already doing it, ain't they? As soon as they can talk, they already start doing that. Casting blame. Making you think. You used to tell them about her coming out of the bedroom after waking him up during a nap. Like, you know, like, good afternoon, Mother. I just woke up. And no. That ain't the way it happened at all. But that's what she wants you to think. And if she can make facial expressions, if she can make body language, if she can just act in a way that you will assume that, well, she just woke up. She's done it to you, see? Lie not one to another. Be real. All right? And then he threw in the middle of that, about using his name. He said, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. Right in the middle of lying and stealing and dealing falsely. You see that? And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So God is telling everybody here, don't you bring his name in to your lying to confirm an oath of lies. That compounds our guilt before God by offending him twice with one sin. Well, I swear. Did you ever hear people say that?
Yes.
They'll even say, I swear to God. That's just like cussing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we talked about this before, about oaths and stuff?
Yep.
Why? I mean, just let your communication be yay, yay, or nay, nay. Why should you swear? If you're truthful and honest and you've got a name for that, you don't have to bring God in and an oath to make them believe that you're telling the truth.
Right.
People would say, I swear. They're probably most of the time liars.
That's true.
And they're dragging God's name into the middle of their lies. And God says, keep my name out of your lying mouth.
Yep.
Don't you profane my name while you're doing this, stealing and lying and dealing falsely. That's why he put it in there. So God inserts here a strict command to keep his name out of our lying mouth. For those who maintain that we're not under this law here, here's some New Testament verses. How about this? Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let him that stole steal no more. So stealing's still a valid law. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not stealing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. This dealing falsely. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. All guile and all the rest of this. That's false dealing. So the New Testament says we're not supposed to do it. The New Testament also says we're not supposed to do it. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, saying that you have put off the old man with his deeds. But I thought we still had the old man. I thought we just both of us living in the same body still. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Did you notice that? Everybody understand? Past tense, done deal. Leviticus 19, let's go down to verse 14. Let's read through 8. Well, let's just read 14 right now. It deals with the respect for the person and the reputation of others. Now, the moral law. It's always to do with other people and how we interact with other people. It also has to do with the way we treat ourselves, but we'll get to that in a minute. But verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord." All right? It's dealing with respect for the persons of other people and their reputation. Not their stuff. We done talked about that. That's part of the moral law, but part of the moral law is how you treat them. Now, let me tell you, ask you something here. You know, let me say this first. We must not only respect the property of others, but we must respect their person. To curse a deaf person or to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person is a sin in the sight of God. Now, why would anybody do that?
To laugh at them.
Jokes. It's funny.
Yeah.
Or mean. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the two things. Mm-hmm. You're either doing it to get a laugh. Practical jokes to get a laugh at the expense of somebody else's feelings and by ridiculing their weaknesses or their disabilities or anything else that makes them different than anybody else. If you don't think, everybody here knows that that's a common thing that everybody does. Kids do it in school, grown-ups do it to one another, at work, anywhere you get around people, they're going to be making fun of somebody. And they'll make fun of people who can't help what they are. You know, if they're crippled or something else wrong with them, blind, deaf, he talks about here,
yeah.
Or just ugly. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You can't help how you look,
yeah.
As far as that goes. Now you can, you know, you can make some, there's some people that are just ugly because they make themselves ugly. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here. Just plain meanness and cowardice. Bully. You know, we all know that there is this tendency in people to laugh at and make fun of, as well as bully and pick on people who are different or disabled in some way. The benevolent soul will be kind and gentle and helpful with such a person. And will come to his defense against the coyotes who bother him.
Yeah. That's true. It's very
true. A godly person won't do that. And he'll do more than that. He'll come to the aid of somebody like that who's being hounded by a bunch of, or an old wolf or coyote. And then he says in verse 15, we must not have, we can't have respect of persons. That's prejudice based upon anything but righteousness. Verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Now I want you to get this. James chapter 2 verse 9 says, but if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So, New Testament, Old Testament, this is a sin. When you just form your opinions of somebody because of some, whether they're rich, because they're rich, or because they're poor, or because they're black, or because they're white, or because they're a Muslim, or whatever.
Right.
If you form your opinion, positive or negative, of anybody for any other reason than righteousness, it's a sin. You're to judge people. You know, it means what it says. We're to form our opinions of people based upon their character and not their wealth or poverty or social standing. That's a sin to do that. Righteousness is the standard by which we should judge others, and it's certainly the standard by which we want to be judged ourselves. Now, I don't want to tarry there too long, but I mean, do you form your opinions of people? Based on what? I don't form my opinions of black people because when I see somebody and they're black, I say, well, there's a black person. He ain't no good. No, that ain't. I've lived long enough to know better than that. I don't form my opinions of people based on who they are or who they're associated with. You know, it's just wrong.
Yes, it is.
But now, you know, there is this problem because of the sinfulness of man. I mean, let me just give you an example. Say there's a family and they've got five boys, and so the boys grow up, and the first one goes to work for the man in town at his store, and he is worthless. He steals from him, lies to him, he won't show up, and he's a rascal. Well, he's gone, and a year or two later, the next brother comes, and he goes to work for him. He does the same thing. And the next one, he does the same thing. And the next one, he does the same thing. Well, then number five comes along. What's that storekeeper going to? You think he's going to be on guard? Well, of course. And that's what we got going on in our world right now.
Yep.
That is exactly the way it is. There have been some real racists. I read in that article I was telling you about slavery. Now, I read some real racists in there from back in those days. They were. And Abraham Lincoln was one of them. Yes, he was. If you read what he really thought about black people and what he thought, where he thought they needed to be in society and everything, I don't think you would think so highly of him. It's all a bunch of lies and junk. The way history's been rewritten and trashed. Trashed the good and glorified the evil.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just... righteousness is how we ought to form our opinions of other people.
Sir.
Judge. Yes, sir. Judge. They say, judge not. Well, wicked people don't want you to judge them. They don't want you to form an opinion of them based upon of their character. Because it's evil.
Yes, sir.
So they don't want you... But it's impossible. It's impossible for a child of God that's walking in holiness to not look at a person who's living evil and form an opinion of them that they're evil.
That's right.
And that what they're doing is wrong. Now, it may offend you for you to know that I think that you're bad. But the way you can change that is stop doing evil and start doing good.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Because my opinion is not based on my likes and dislikes or what I think or don't think. I mean, if it says thou shalt not steal and you are a thief, then there's nothing I can do to fix my opinion about you. You're wrong.
Amen.
But listen to the next thing here. Now, he just told us not to be judging people except for righteousness. I mean, that's the standard. Don't judge them. Have respect of persons because of who they are, or where they come from, or rich or poor. But we're not to harm people with gossip and talebearing. We're not to believe evil of others because we heard it somewhere. Verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So we're warned that it's a sin in God's sight to repeat stories we have heard about people.
Yeah, that's true.
Ouch. Yeah. Talebearers sow mischief among the people and cause strife. Here's a verse. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Who causes the trouble? The ones who like to run their mouth. The ones who just can't wait to tell somebody. Who've got to be the first one to tell some new story about somebody. They're a talebearer. God hates it. It's a sin. It harms other people. It causes strife. It's a hurtful thing. It damages other people. So... it's morally wrong. That means it's a sin. Gossip hurts people, and it mars their reputation for good. And many times the gossip ain't even true. So it's a terrible injustice that's done.
Yes,
it is. You don't want to have a part in it. Maybe some liar, you know, lie not one to another. A liar started the story. And you know, we've all played the game where we sit in a circle and we read this little line and we whispered into the ear of the first person and they whispered and they whispered around the circle, and then you see when it comes out the other end. Y'all ever played that game? So we know what gossip does. It gets added to. It gets embellished a little with each flapping tongue.
Yep.
And with the enthusiasm of every talebearer as it goes down the chain. Yep. Until it's become something that's not even true at all. Maybe it wasn't even true when it started. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Belly, I can't see. Innermost parts of the belly. So, how many of you have ever had somebody tell a tale about you? At work, at school, in the family, at church. Yeah. Did it hurt you? Yeah, sir. Damage. Permanent damage done. It causes other people to look at you different. I've had people look at me funny and I'd think, why do you look at me like that? Later I found out. Somebody done told them that I did such and such. I said such and such. I went such and such. Wasn't true at all. But the wounds of a talebearer. To be a talebearer is sinful in God's sight. It's gossip. That's what a talebearer is. It's gossip.
Yes, sir.
A talebearer is one who just loves to be the one to tell something on someone else. But let me tell you something. Righteousness will stop that anxious tongue from talking. Listen to this. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. And he loves to do it. Or she loves to do it. Either one. There's men gossips and women gossips. Women catch a lot of the blame, but men are just as bad about gossiping.
Yeah.
But listen to this. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter.
That's right.
So you just don't go around that. What if it is true? Well, there's a lot of things that are true that just be better not told. Let it stop with you.
Amen.
What thrill is it? What joy is it? What reward do you have? It's not a holy reward. There's no holy desire in your heart if you enjoy telling a tale about somebody. So that somebody will think evil of them. Think less of them.
That's right.
I mean, it's just like murder. Really. You're assassinating somebody's character.
That's right.
You're slaying them with your tongue. All right, let's hurry. Holding grudges and not communicating with one another when we have differences with them is a sin in God's sight.
Yep.
Proverbs. Blah, blah, blah. Leviticus 19:17-18 here. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. All right, we're going to talk about that in a minute. So, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. He always says that. I am the Lord. All right, to think evil of somebody is to suffer sin upon them. It's when you get this secret ought in your heart against somebody, and you just keep it there. And you don't ever say anything about it. You just keep it in yourself. This person you've got aught against, they may not even be aware that you have aught against them. A secret grudge will turn into bitterness, and it'll lead to thoughts of revenge and doing harm to them. I mean, you're going to eventually get bitter enough and filled with hatred for your brother in your heart enough that you're going to do something to hurt him, to get even, make yourself feel better. So, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. What do you think that means? That means go talk to him. We talk about it often among ourselves, how the lack of communication is the biggest problem between people. When you quit communicating, then both parties start imagining what the other's thinking and what they're saying and the way they feel. And rebuke thy brother. I mean, if he did something, say something to him. You know, that really does help. I've had people have ought against me, and I had no idea until they came to me and said they were sorry and asked me to forgive them, and I didn't know anything about it. But it caused me to have a lot of respect for them. Yeah. Because they did what the Bible's teaching here to do concerning this moral law about hating your brother in your heart. Don't do that. Don't hold in grudges. That's what it says right there. Grudge not. Don't hold this ill feeling in your heart. Like you low down. Everybody thinks you're so spiritual and you're so good and you're just, I know what you really are. And they're just saying it to themselves, you know. And that's a sin. You're violating the moral law of God, just like stealing. Just like the rest of this stuff we talk about. Lying. Everything else. Alright. Then verse 22. 19 through 23. It's a command against confusion in what we sow. Alright? Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman. You see, that's a continuation of the same thing he's talking about here. He didn't change subjects. He's not just rambling and saying random thoughts. You don't sow mixed seed. You don't let your cattle gender with each other all mixed up, a different kind. You don't, what was the first thing? You do not let your cattle gender. So mingle seed, the garments mingled with wool, linen and wool. Don't do that. You don't mix up the things that God has made separate. Yes. You keep God's order. You keep God's order. You don't try to mix it up. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done. And the sin which he hath done shall he be forgiven, or shall be forgiven him. All right, God made all living things after their kind. That's his divine order. A cow has a cow. Evolution is a lie. Right. It's a bunch of nonsense. There's never been anything like they say. When God created all things, he said, after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. And that's the only way that it's ever been. There's never been a half cow, half horse. There's never been a half animal, half human. It won't work. It just won't work. God fixed it up so that it just won't work. Men want it to work, don't they? You ever notice how all the pagan gods are half human and half animal? Or half two different kinds of animals. You know, they mixing up God's order. That's what this is about. This is a moral law of God. This is why cross-dressing is wrong. This is why men looking like women is wrong. Women looking like men is wrong. That's why. You're mixing up what God made distinct separately. You're doing the same thing as sowing the seed mixed up, letting your animal's gender all mixed up, wearing your clothes all mixed up. Whatever God made, keep it that way. If you don't, you're disregarding God. You're disrespecting God. You're being irreverent toward God. You're blaspheming God. You're saying, I don't like the way he did it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make it my way. Why do we want monsters? Why do men want monsters? Huh? Mixing animals up. They're working just as hard as they can work to mix humans and animals with their DNA and all of the stuff they're doing. To mix it up, to ignore it, to try to mingle things that God did not mean to mingle results in confusion and disorder. And disorder and confusion eventually lead to the disillusion and destruction of an individual, a person, their life. Confusion and disorder leads to the end of you. Confusion and disorder lead to the end of a family, end of a church, end of a nation, and the whole world. Yeah. What was the deal in Noah's day? He said, there's a verse where it says, God said they have corrupted His way in all the earth. They had messed up everything God did. They had mixed it up as much as they could and mingled everything they could that He didn't mean to be me. They had tried to erase God's signature off of His creation. And that is what they're doing now. And people who claim to be Christians are participating in it full on. They won't dress right. They won't live right. They won't act right. You know, everywhere I look in churches, there's people, it's preachers and everything else, and they got these boys that are feminine as a... And they got girls that are macho. Or prostitutes. That's the next message. Do not prostitute thy daughter. You can look forward to that. If you got any hints, any input, just let me have it. But anyway, that's what it is. Disorder and confusion break everything down. Yep. That's so simple. Everybody can see that and understand that. Yep. You know, your car has a motor and a transmission and it has wheels on it and they're all connected together. And it has to work just the way it was made to work. Or you ain't going nowhere. You can say, I don't like the sound that motor's making. I'm going to put me some kerosene in the crankcase instead of the oil. I don't like that old nasty black oil. Well, you're not going to go very far. I don't like a car that's got four wheels. I just want three. Take one of them off. See how well it works for you. See, I don't want the motor in front of the transmission. I want the transmission in front of the motor. Well, it ain't going to work for you. And then we take God's creation that's perfect. It got His signature all over it. His image is stamped on everything. So that from the they are without excuse. Because of the creation of God. It's so orderly. It's so ordered in everything. And then we mess it up and mix it up. It's a sin. You better be aware. You better be knowledgeable. You better be alert and attentive to God's order for the home, for your life, for everything you do in your life. He included clothing here. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he did.
Wonder why he did that. God don't care what you wear. That's what they say now. I find it all over the Bible different than that.
Yeah.
Before you even went to worship, you were to do what? Change your clothes.
Yes, sir.
Jacob told his boys, sanctify yourselves. Change your clothes. We're going to Bethel. And then modern people that have mixed up everything and ain't got it, and you know, acting like fools and heathens in the churches, and they say, God don't care what you wear. And the preacher stands up there in his little shorts and his t-shirt and Adultery and fornication are wrong. Mainly because of the confusion it causes. It confuses the identity of the offspring. Simple.
Yep.
How do you know who you are if your mother or your father was immoral in this?
Right.
How do you know?
Right.
You've always got a question mark.
Yep.
There's always rumors around. Some people know. Some people think they know. Some people suspect. You do too. You may have a name, but you know it's not really your name. I mean, see, it's confusion. It destabilizes everything for everybody. It confuses the identity of the offspring. It confuses the feelings and the loyalties of those involved in this sin. They become unstable in their mind, unstable in their heart, unstable in their life. From that point on, they're shaky and confused and unsure. That's what it does. That's the main reason that it's wrong. It's deadly. Deadly. And that's why it's in the middle of this. Mixing up the seed. Mixing up the cattle. Mixing up the clothes. Mixing up the relationships here. Verses 23 through 28 deal with having respect for yourself and your body and what you put in it and what you do with it on the outside. Let's just hurry through these real quick here. But chapter 19, verse 23 through 28. And when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy, to praise the Lord withal. And in the fifth year shall ye eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord your God. And what's that all about? Well, what we consume from the world, the land they went into, see, the land they possessed was polluted. The land they inherited was defiled. The Bible says it over and over. The land was defiled. The land vomited out the inhabitants. And you go in there and plant trees in that mess, don't eat the fruit of it till the fifth year. Because it's important what you put into you. Not just your body, but this represents your mind too. What comes from the world, what the world's messed with, what the world has defiled and confused and all of that, and you take it into you, into your mind, into your opinions, into your knowledge bank, you go out there and dip out of their cistern, and you're going to be sick. You're going to be defiled. Ye shall be holy. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Don't eat that slop. Don't eat it. It may look good. It may smell good. It may appear to be nothing wrong with it. Don't eat it. 3 years. Fourth year, you can offer it as an offering to the Lord. Fifth year, you can eat of it. You reckon there was any of them said, "Hey, I don't see no point in that. Ain't see, I love them peaches look good to me." Yeah. It's like the little boy the other night that his daddy told him not to drink out of that barrel of water because it might be bad. He sneaked over and did it anyway and got typhoid. Just how people are. God says don't do it. He told him on the Sabbath, don't go out on the Sabbath picking up manna. But on the Sabbath day, guess what? There was some of them out there, where's it at? People don't listen. People don't pay attention. They don't hear because they don't want to hear. Some people are just defiant. Gonna do it their way no matter what. They look at it and they size it up and they judge it according to their God. They can understand. They can discern. They can make up their own mind. Ain't nobody got to tell me what to do.
Sure.
Yeah. And they die.
Right.
Some of them was out there picking up sticks on the Sabbath too. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Didn't turn out too well for them. God don't take it lightly when people just ignore Him and defy Him. So the New Testament repeats the command against eating blood of any kind. In 26 there, verse 26, Leviticus 19, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times. It's an unholy thing. It's an irreverent thing to eat the blood of any creature. God said not to do it. Unless you have a spirit of uncleanness, unless you have been turned over to vile affections, there's just something in you about eating blood. No, no, no. What kind of a... I've always wondered, what in the world kind of a mind and heart is there in this person that wants to drink and eat blood? Evil, I can tell you that. They're not just different. They're not just got their own taste. They're evil. It's a moral law. It don't matter if you can understand it or not. It's just blood. What's the difference between blood and the meat? There's a big difference. God said so. We are not to use enchantment or observe times. That's to partake of the superstitions and religions and worldly philosophies and ways.
Yes.
See, this part's talking about what we do to ourselves. What we put in ourselves, what we do to the outside of ourselves. That's what this is all about. It's talking about you. There are moral things about what you do with your body.
Yes. That's right.
You can't, it's not my body. I can do what I want to do with it. You're a reprobate. If you really feel that way.
That's right.
It's not your body. It belongs to God.
That's right.
And you're just living in it for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
You better be careful how you treat it. And how you dishonor it. And how you degrade it. Or honor it. We're not to follow the fashions of the world or identify with them by the way we groom our hair. Men or women. Listen to this. Verse 27. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. What does that mean? Well, it means trying to be like the world in their fashions.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Yes.
I know I can't get many amens, and I know that it is offensive to people, but when I think of a goatee beard, who do you know that has a goatee? Always portrayed with a goatee.
The devil.
The devil. Gary, I'm... Well, I wasn't aiming at you, Gary, but... Well, now look, what does it mean? Thou shalt not round the corners of thy beard. Where did God put hair on your face, men? Right above your lip? No, not just there. On your chin? Not just there. Well, Gary's young. I mean, when you're young, it don't grow everywhere. When I was Gary's age, I didn't have a full beard. Like I wouldn't have looked like this if I'd have... No. You'll vouch for that, huh? You remember that far back? Well, see, people just don't think.
No.
It's a moral issue.
No, it's true.
It's who you identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to identify with?
Yeah.
Who do you want to look like?
Right.
Whose praise are you seeking? Whose approval are you seeking?
Right.
When I first started wearing a beard 30 years ago, it wasn't popular. And it, especially in independent Baptist churches.
It wasn't.
That was it. I mean, there's very few would even... have me around.
True.
I guess they thought I was a turned biker or something like that, or a hippie. And but anyway. All right, let's hurry up here. Body modification,
yes,
and tattoos. They're against the moral law of God.
Amen.
There's no question about it. Verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. And they say, well, that's for the dead. I guess it's okay any other time. I mean, if you don't make cuttings in your flesh just for no reason, that's okay. But God said not to do it for the dead. That's the only thing he prohibited. You can cut yourself all to pieces if you want to any other time, according to their interpretation.
Right.
Body modification. Well, that includes plastic surgery.
Yes.
Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. But thou shalt not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I don't even like to see children writing on their hands.
No.
Or anybody.
No, no. It shouldn't be allowed. No
So I don't care what you like. Well, I'm just telling you what God said here.
Right.
Now, you can defy God if you want to. Go ahead. But, and you can reason it any way you want to. Justify yourself any way you want to. But I can tell you this, it ain't going to fly when you stand before God.
Right.
It's going to count as a sin against you. Because you sinned against God. You've sinned against your own body. It is to deface the body that God gave you.
Yes.
And to treat it as an unholy thing.
Right.
Your body is not to be printed on like a t-shirt. I don't even like printed t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like it. You ever see me wearing one?
Nope.
You ever see me wearing one? My body ain't a billboard.
Right.
And you know, you women ought to take it into account too. Yeah, I mean, you put your print. If a t-shirt's printed on, where's it printed?
On your chest.
Is that where you want everybody looking?
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. You better believe it's true. Kind of takes the guilt off of you if they're reading it and not just looking. I mean, if some guy just walked up and you didn't have on a t-shirt with printing on it and he just stood there and looked at you like that, would that make you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
But if you got one on that says all that printing, you can just sit there and let him look and you think he's reading it. Dummy.
Yes.
You're a dummy. It's degrading, and it identifies you with all the evil in the world, as it always has. I'm talking about tattoos, body modification, rings in your nose and ears and everywhere else in your body, belly button now, nose.
Yep.
That's right.
This, yeah, everybody Googles everything. Just Google, you know, jungle attire in the 1700s, 1800s. See if it don't look like downtown New York City. Gauges in their ears. That's all identifies the most degenerate human beings that's ever lived on this planet. That's how they found them in the jungle when they were totally degenerate, naked, nasty, filthy, totally immoral, cannibals. And sodomites, that's how they find them. That's the state they find them in, and that's their tokens of their identity.
That's right.
Their body modification. They put those plates in their lips and stretch them way out. They put the rings around their neck and stretch their neck way up.
Body mutilation.
Yes. Cut their flesh and make scars and paint it. And now that's what all good people do. Oh, is it? No, it's the same thing. Why do you want to identify with the most degenerate of humanity? Ye shall be holy. I don't believe that goes with this.
No.
Do you?
No.
I don't believe it's holy when you mutilate your body.
No.
You know, they color their eyes. They tattoo their eyes now. The whites of their eyes. They split their tongue and they sharpen their teeth and they color all their skin. You know, there's a guy that wants to be a lizard. So he's all tattooed all over his body with scales, like he's got scales and his teeth are filed off sharp and he's got a forked tongue and his eyes are painted and he wears contacts with slitted pupils. And what in the world is that all about? That's about being possessed with demons. That's what that's about. You got extreme cases like that, but it's degraded their body. But even the attempts to do body modification to improve the appearance of the body ends up ruining it many times.
Yes.
Dolly Parton.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Y'all know a bunch more, don't you? You see them? They look like freaks.
Yes,
they've ruined themselves.
Yes, they have.
Modifying their body. Yeah. Just nipping and tucking and pulling here and there to try to be more beautiful. And it ends up ruining their looks. Mm-hmm. I seen one time she called herself the cat woman. She did it because her husband wanted her to do it, she said. And she turned out to be this monstrous looking thing. She's ruined. Can't be fixed. She's so ugly that it's... Yeah. Won't you just look in the mirror and say, thank you, Lord, for making me like you did. Yeah. Why don't you honor your body? By leaving it the way God made it.
Amen.
Why do you want to change anything about it? Why do you want to use it like it's a piece of scrap paper?
Yes, amen.
It just grieves me. I go out in public and stuff and I see these nice, sometimes nice looking young women. And they have just ruined their body. That's for good.
Yes, sir.
Why? Why do you need to do that? What makes you do that? Well, rebellion against God, whether you know it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, you've been swept away. If you didn't do it willingly and on purpose, knowing you were against God, you've just been swept away in the current of everybody else and you're just following along. A lot of them do that. I believe that. There's a lot of these that are just doing it because that's what everybody else is doing. And even older people do it. Well, I ain't jumping on the bandwagon. You know, Joyce Meyer says she may get a tattoo. Go ahead. Just go ahead, Joyce Myers. Teach your people what that are listening to you, that kind of stuff. You're going against the moral law of God. When God says, thou shalt not, and some preacher, woman, or man, or whoever stands up and says, I don't see nothing wrong with it, I may do it myself. They're going to be in big trouble.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have a lot to answer for. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 17. Read this and I'll quit. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And in case somebody would say, well, now that's you, that's not your body, he said you. Well, there's another verse that says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Treat it like one. Don't treat it like something to write graffiti all over. You know? You ought to have respect for people's things. Ought to have respect for people's persons. We ought not to mix up what God has sorted out and laid in order in everything. And then we ought to treat our own body like it's holy and like it's on loan from God, because it is. Remember, it's not yours. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your
body.
It's pretty plain. Better think twice before you go desecrating it. Amen. I mean, you know, this little old house we're meeting in, is, you know, it's a little old house. But if somebody come and spray painted all over the front of it, we wouldn't appreciate that, wouldn't we? We wouldn't do that to our church, would we? You wouldn't do that to your home you live in, would you? Why do people do that to their body? Bad thing. All right. Bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd help us to understand these things and apply them right in our lives. Simple, very simple, basic moral law that's for eternity. This is forever. As long as this world stands and men live together in a sinful world, this moral law is our guide. And even in eternity, this will be the law of love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That underlies all of this. And so, Lord, please help us. I pray you give us the understanding we need. Make it plain where I didn't. And make it clear, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.